Ryan Young and I have known each other for several years, going back here in the Dayton area, and he was involved with us at the Memorial Hall Revival back in 2014. And since then, Brother Ryan has traveled with Nathan Morris. You've heard of his Shake the Nation ministry. He's been a part of that and has done some incredible things. And God is just using him mightily in the area of healing and prophetic ministry. And about 2 years ago, I think, you quit a really good job you had at the University of Miami because the Lord said, go preach the gospel full time. So he is here today. Obedient to the Lord. I love this man. I love his heart. And it's about time we had him here, right? It's about time. He's probably said, it's about time you invited me. So let's stand and give Brother Ryan Young a fantastic welcome this morning. God bless you, brother.
It's a joy to be here with you guys this morning. I'm going to get set up real quick. All right. Well, it is a joy to be here with you. As Pastor Eric said, my name is Ryan Young. I've had the joy and the privilege of knowing Pastor Eric for quite a few years. And one of the things I will say, I think he's out of here already, but so he's not going to hear all the great things I said about him. Hopefully we're recording this and he'll be able to see it afterwards. But I will say one of the things that I so appreciate about Pastor Eric and Julie and Destiny Church is their heart for revival and their heart for a move of God and their heart for seeing God move and people touched. I will say that there are impartations that I've received in this room. There are seeds that have been planted in my heart and in my life in this room from coming to revivals and speakers that he's had in that have changed my life. And I'm actually going to share a little bit about that right now. Who I am, my name is Ryan. I'm an evangelist. Like he says, I travel with Shake the Nations often. I'm actually leaving in 4 days to go with him to Peru for a gospel crusade. In these crusades, I've had an opportunity to see God move in incredible and miraculous ways. I've had an opportunity to see blind eyes open, to see deaf ears open, to see the lame walk again. I've seen tumors disappear and legs grow. But even more importantly than that, I've had an opportunity to see tens of thousands of people come forward to receive salvation. Let's give God glory. Back in 2015, I was standing right there in that room, right there between those two aisles. Jeremiah Johnson was here. See, I was raised in the church. I was raised cutting my teeth on the church pew. And from the time I was a little boy, God called me to the work of the ministry. But I fought it. I ran from it. I didn't want it. I wasn't interested. I wanted to pursue the things that I wanted to pursue. I wanted to pursue my own goals, my own mission. I had no interest in being who God called me to be. I still went to church. I still served in church. But I was living the way I wanted to outside of church, continuing to live in my sin, to live an unchanged life. But I thought that it was enough because I was going to church on Sunday mornings. I thought it was enough because I was serving in youth ministry and serving in kids ministry. But standing right there in that room, what's cool is I share this story every time I preach, but this is an opportunity to share where it happened. I was standing right there and Jeremiah Johnson came up to me and he said, gave me a prophetic word, and he said three times, he said, quit running from the call. And I thought, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And I left angry. I did. I left angry that night. It was January of 2015. Little did I know that the word that he would say would come to pass, and I would walk through what seemed like absolute hell. And over the next 6 months, I finally got to the point. I was on Vine Street in Cincinnati, driving in my car on my way to work at the University of Cincinnati. And I finally said, God, I will go wherever you tell me to go. I will do whatever you tell me to do. I accept the call wholeheartedly. And I promise you, as long as you take this feeling of misery away from me, because it didn't matter what I did. Every success left, success in my job, health in my body, everything left. And that day in that car, when I laid it all down and I said, God, wherever you tell me to go, whatever you tell me to do, I'll preach the gospel. I'll pray for the sick. I don't care if you just bring me out of this misery. Because outside of the will of God, you'll be miserable. And from that moment forward, see, people knew me. They knew me as a loudmouth. They knew me as someone who had told inappropriate jokes at church. They knew me as someone who I didn't live the life I live now. And I told God, I said, there's no way that you can turn this around. And he brought me to the scripture and he said, redeem the time for the days that are evil. And he told me, he said, I will redeem your time. And from that moment forward, I've had an opportunity to pastor locally. I've had an opportunity to travel all over the world and see the things that I've seen. I've been to multiple countries. I have seen miraculous miracles. I have seen demons cast out. I have seen God's power made manifest not only overseas, but I've had an opportunity to see God's power made manifest right here in the United States, right here in Ohio, right here in Dayton. I have seen God's power made manifest. And so what I'm here to tell you about today is to tell you about the power and the majesty of Jesus Christ. In February of this year, I stepped out of my full-time job at Miami University, and God told me to go and to preach the gospel and to carry this message that he's placed in my heart and to carry it to the church. He said, because they have forgotten who I am. I'm not just talking about the lost. I'm talking about people in the church have forgotten who he is. See, this faith, this Pentecostal faith was built upon the power of God. We saw the power of God made manifest in the United States and across the world, but we've forgotten who he is. And today my mission is to remind you who he is and then walk in a demonstration of that power. Today I'm going to teach to you about a God who heals. I'm going to testify about the healings that he's seen. And then afterwards, we're going to have a demonstration of the power of God. Because here's what Paul said. He said, I didn't come with wise and persuasive words, but I came with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. I don't want to come up here and give you a wise word. I'm not trying to convince you that he's a healer. I'm here to show you that he's a healer. Because that's who he is. I want to open up with a few testimonies, and then I'm going to intersperse them throughout the message, and you're going to hear a few more, because it does two things. Number one is it glorifies and it magnifies God. See, when we talk about healing, when healing manifests, it points and it confirms the message of the cross. It points and it confirms the death and resurrection and the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's what healing does. And so we're going to share these testimonies, but secondly is it builds faith. And I'm glad the kids are in the room because I preached this message at another church. Or I preached about healing and I shared these testimonies. And there was a woman that came up to me afterwards and her daughter said, she said, I didn't even use any of my activities today because I couldn't help but hear about all the cool things God has done. Because there's no junior Holy Spirit. There's no junior God. There's no junior healing. There's no junior anything. If you're in this room, it doesn't matter if you're 6 or 60. God is going to touch you. He's going to heal your body. And he's going to minister to your heart today. My very first crusade, I was in Malaysia, which is a Muslim country. It's full of darkness. And there was a woman who came forward to the altar and she said, I want God to heal my knees. And she was in a wheelchair because her knees were so bad that she couldn't walk. And I asked this woman, she was probably in her 80s. I said, is Jesus your Lord and Savior? And she said, no, but if he heals my knees, he will be. How many of you know God likes a challenge? So we laid hands on this woman. We prayed for her knees. We prayed the prayer of faith. And then I asked her if anything was different, if anything had changed. She tried to get up and said, no, nothing had changed. So as I stood there, I said, okay, God, we're going to pray again. And I asked her, I said, we're going to pray again. But the Holy Spirit told me, I want you to have the interpreters lay hands on her and pray. So I told my interpreters, I said, listen, I want you to lay hands on this woman, one on each knee. And I want you to pray the prayer of faith that she's going to walk up out of that wheelchair. They laid hands on her. They prayed. After they got done praying, this woman popped up and started screaming something in Mandarin. And I'm like, what is she? I'm like, what's she saying? And they're like, she's saying all the pain is gone. All the pain is gone. And on the spot, she gave her life to Jesus Christ. Three things happened there. Number one, she was healed and she gave her life to Jesus Christ. Number two, my faith was encouraged and I saw the finished work of the cross in action. But number three is there were two interpreters and they said to me afterwards, they said, we thought you guys were special, but God used us too. And one of the things that I want you to know today is we are going to see God's healing power. And I want you to know it has nothing special to do with me. It has everything to do with God. And it's the word of God says this, these signs shall follow those who believe. That they will cast out demons, that they'll raise the dead, that they'll pray for the sick and they shall recover. And if you are in this room and you believe Jesus is who he said he is, God will flow his miracle working power through you as well. in Belize, I was standing and I had prayed for two consecutive days. After the first day, we prayed for all kinds of sick and saw no visible miracles. I prayed all day long and there were people that had things inside their body that we couldn't see. There was nothing that was grown, nothing that disappeared, no eyes that opened. And my heart began to grow weary and I said, God, why am I not seeing this? And he told me to persist and to keep moving forward. The next day, the same thing happened. I prayed for 20, 30 sick people and saw nothing happen. And nearing the end of the day, someone said, Ryan, can you come over here and can you pray for this woman? And I said, yes. I came over. We laid hands on her. This woman had a tumor on her neck. There was a visible tumor underneath the skin. As we prayed, it melted underneath our hands and it was completely gone. This woman started exclaiming and yelling and said, get my daughter down here. She needs healed too. And I looked over and the interpreter, she was probably a 16-year-old kid. And I looked over and there were tears just gently flowing down her face. Now, here's the incredible thing. I was mad at God because it took 2 days for me to see a creative miracle. But I found out, so we were working with the Assemblies of God in Belize. I found out afterwards, this was the first time in their entire life that the president of the Assemblies of God in Belize had ever seen a miracle. In his entire life, I treated him as a common thing, but God is all powerful and he can heal and deliver and set free. I was in Vandalia at a church and someone called me over to pray for this young girl that was blind in one eye and the doctor said that she would never see again. I laid hands on her. We prayed 3 times and she did not get healed standing there in that church. And I looked at her and I said, honey, listen, whether I saw your eye open here tonight or not, I know God heals. It doesn't change my theology. It doesn't change my doctrine. It doesn't change my belief. It doesn't change what I stand upon. And it won't change how I pray because I've seen him open the eyes of the blind. I got word several weeks later that she was in the office of the doctor who said she would never see again. And her eye began to open up and she could see colors and shapes. And I saw this young lady just 2 weeks ago and she said she can read several lines down on the chart. And she was completely blind, couldn't see a thing. My favorite part about it is they said when it happened in front of the doctor, that the doctor did a dance in the doctor's office. See, here's the thing. Jesus does things in a way that is going to bring the most glory to his name. What brought more glory to his name? Me who seen blind eyes open all over the world or to get her in front of that doctor. So before you question God and say, why didn't it happen like this? Or why didn't it happen when I wanted it to? You say, God, I believe that you are going to heal my body and it is going to bring glory to your name. That's what he does and that's who he is. And lastly, the last testimony I'm going to share before we jump into the word is this. I was in El Salvador, saw mighty, mighty miracles there. Nathan, who I travel with, had told us, he said, listen, I want you to set in your heart what you believe God is going to do today. And there was something that I had always wanted to see God do. I'd seen it happen on videos. I'd seen it happen in videos of old revivals. And I said, I want to see a leg grow because I believe God can do creative miracles. About halfway through that day, through that crusade, a woman came up and she said, my son's leg is shorter than the other one, and I want you to pray that it will grow. So I told my prayer partner, I said, this one's mine. I did. And he said, go after it, man. And I got down on the ground, and I leaned his legs up, and I began praying, and I commanded the leg to grow by the power of Jesus' blood. And it grew, and it came out to meet my palm. And I looked up at my prayer partner, and even though I had prayed for it, I had believed for it, I had fasted for it, I looked at my prayer partner and I said, did you just see that? And he said, I did, it grew. It grew a full inch and a half, even though I had believed. But the expectation is the breeding ground for the miraculous. Everywhere that I've gone, when I have seen God heal people, it has not been because people are sitting being the frozen chosen. He didn't go drag them down. But most of the time when I see people touched and healed, it was because their heart was expectant. My hope today is in sharing these with you and sharing these testimonies is that expectation is building in your heart. That if you are in this room today and you're sick or you're ill or you're wounded or injured, that expectation is beginning to bubble up in your heart. And you're saying, listen, if God did that for those people, he will surely do it for me as well. Whew. I'll tell you, I could testify all day. God's good. What I want to do, though, is I want to jump into the teaching of God's word. Because he exalts his word above his name, guys. This is where we talk about is, do you want to know the will of God? Kenneth Hagin said, you know the will of God by reading the word of God. That's where we find it. When we want to know what is the will of God for healing, we find it in his book. So for those of you, how many of you have a physical Bible with you? All right, we got a couple in the room. That's what I like to see. Although I'm reading from my iPad, so I feel, you know. So if you're with me today, I'm reading in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 32. We're reading about the men on the road to Emmaus. And I'm just going to have it up on the screen as well if you don't have your Bible with you. Starting in verse 13, it says, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and they did not find his body. And they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe, all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going, and he acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them, and when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and then he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, did our hearts not burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? So this is one of the most powerful, to me, this is one of the most powerful passages in the New Testament, because we see two believers. These are not people who are unbelievers. These are not unrepentant. These are people who were disciples, who were followers of Jesus. They were walking down the road. They were walking in the very presence of Jesus, yet they did not know it was him. They were walking in defeat. They were walking in fear. They were walking in disbelief and in doubt. They were in the presence of Jesus. And so whenever I started preparing this message, God so told me, he said, listen, there are people who have been blinded to my power. Have you been blinded to the power of God? Are you like the blind men on the road to Emmaus? And there's several observations I want to pull out of this. First, he says, are you so slow to believe everything the prophets have spoken? This word, the Old Testament, is filled with over 300 prophecies pointing to Jesus as the Messiah. Over 300 prophecies, many of which, or all of which, were fulfilled. Prophecies that are still being fulfilled today. He was the fulfillment of every one of those prophetic words. Yet we read this, and we read it as a history book. We are slow to believe what the prophets spoke about in Isaiah 53 when it says he came. In Isaiah 61 when it talks that he was the Messiah who came. And he said in Luke chapter 4, he said, I'm the one who came to fulfill that word. I'm the one who came to set the captives free, to bring liberty to the captives, to set free those who are bound. He is that man. But how many of us are slow to believe all the things that the word of God has said? When it says that he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That is the word of the prophets, but have we believed it today? Have we been slow of heart to believe what the prophets have said? But even beyond that, we read, not only did they not believe the prophets, but they didn't believe that the women went to the tomb and they saw him and he wasn't there anymore. There was a direct eyewitness account and testimony that they went to the tomb and he was gone. We read about healings all throughout time. We read about healings all through the early 1900s. John G. Lake in the early 1900s. We read about in the 1950s the healing revivals with A.A. Allen and Oral Roberts. And we read about all these miraculous works. But yet we're like the men on the road to Emmaus. Yes, they went there and they saw that, but we didn't see it ourselves. I could share with you all day about all the things that I've heard about God doing throughout history, but unless you believe it in your heart, you're going to stay blinded to God's power. Even then, he said, more people went and confirmed, but they still did not yet believe. What did they say? They said, we thought he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. But here it is, 3 days later, and he hasn't come. See, how many of you in this room, you have waited for healing, you've sat sick, and you said, listen, I've not been healed yet, I've not been touched yet, I've not encountered God yet, so it probably is not going to happen. See, we read this and it seems ridiculous that they were in the presence of Jesus, but yet were blinded to who he was and sat complaining about his death and the fact that he didn't resurrect as the resurrected Jesus stood before him. We think that sounds ridiculous, but Jesus said, there's coming a day when I'm going to release my spirit everywhere. It's no longer going to be in the temple. If you are sitting in this room today, you are sitting in the presence of Jesus Christ, but yet we sit bound up in sickness, bound up in disease, bound up in sin, bound up in brokenness, bound up in the things that the enemy has bound us up in, while we sit in the presence of Jesus. Just like the men on the road to Emmaus, we sit bound up. But for many of us, because we didn't see God do it in the time frame we thought he would do it in, we gave up. Well, this must just be God's will for me. I got news. It's not. Several months ago, I was preaching in Germantown at a place called Cowboy Church. And there was a man who was sick for 47 years with an injury in his back. We had a healing service. He didn't even come forward to get touched and prayed for. Afterwards, he told me, he said, I have been prayed for so many times. I just gave up. Someone brought me over to pray for him. And I said, sir, can I pray for you? And he said, sure, go ahead. And God miraculously healed him. The next time I showed up, he said, I want to let you know, brother. He said, my back injury, I had it for 47 years. I was in unimaginable pain. He said, but when I went to the VA, I had the opportunity to tell him. He said, listen, I don't need shots in my back anymore because I got healed last Tuesday night. So if you're in this room and you have suffered with your sickness, listen, it doesn't matter how long you've had it. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what the doctor's prognosis is. God can and will heal you today. We serve an all-powerful God. It says that his back was made to be a plowed field for us. It says that, his blood, it says it speaks a better word than that of the blood of Abel. And if the blood of Abel was enough to pull God down out of heaven to avenge him, how much more so is his blood going to work for us today in this room? That's who he is. We have a God who heals and delivers. He is not dead. He is alive. And he's moving and he's active today. Not just overseas, but here in the United States as well. That's who he is. But what happens is we become blinded to the power of God. And what I want to do is I want to reveal to you the ways in which the enemy blinds us. See, what happens is the enemy uses lies to distort our image of the character of God, and it keeps us from believing or even pursuing the miraculous. If he can distort our image of who God is, he can keep us from pursuing healing, from pursuing the miraculous, from pursuing God's freeing power, because he's distorted our image of the character and nature of God. Over the next 20 minutes, I want to share with you what the character and nature of God is regarding healing. And then we're going to see a demonstration of that character and nature today here. Are you guys ready for that? The first lie is this, is that he lies to us about where sickness comes from. In Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. One of the lies the enemy tells us, and this is one of the ones I hate the most, is because people are bound up with it, is they'll say, oh, well, God gave me this to teach me something. He gave it to me to teach me patience. God didn't give you that to teach you patience. Both sweet and bitter water don't come out of the same mouth. The God who heals you is not going to make you sick. He didn't give it to you because you sinned. Does sin open us up to sickness? Absolutely it does. But listen, God did not give that sickness to you as a punishment. That's not who he is. I met a man once, and he said he had AIDS. And I said, well, can I pray for you and believe for God to heal your body? And this is what he told me. He said, no. He said, don't pray for me. And I said, well, why not? God can heal you. And he said, listen, I was a gay man for 30 years, and this is God's punishment on me for being gay. Not only could this man not receive healing, he would not even allow me to pray for his healing. Because his mind had been distorted about who God was, and he thought that God gave him that sickness because of his sin. God does not give sickness. It says in John 10:10, it says that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but that I have come that you might have life and have it in abundance. In Luke chapter 4, and I said this earlier, but I'm going to say it again. He says, listen, he reads out of Isaiah 61. He says, the Lord of God has anointed me to preach the good news. And he goes on and he's quoting Isaiah 61 and sitting in the seat of Moses, which is the seat of authority in the temple in those days. He said, listen, I am that guy. Today, this scripture, these prophecies, these promises, they're fulfilled in your hearing. And guess what? There's no prophecy in the Word of God that says, I'm going to make you sick. But there's prophecy that says, listen, I'm going to make you well. This healing is the children's bread. That is what His Word says. Listen. We don't stand upon tradition. We don't stand upon what the law said where people thought that you got sick because of your sin. We stand upon the truth of what this word says and nothing else. That's what we stand upon. God did not make you sick. He did not give you that as punishment. He did not give you that to teach you anything. It says in John, it says that he came to destroy the works of the devil. It says in Mark chapter 1, it says that they all came to him, they were all healed, and those who were oppressed of the devil were set free. That's who he came to be. If you're in this room and you think God gave you your sickness, you can't possibly hope to ask him to heal you because you won't believe he'll do it because you believe he gave it to you. If you're in this room today and someone has taught you fat theology, it's wrong. The second is this. And this is the most controversial thing I'm going to say today. And I'm sure Pastor Eric's okay with it because I know he's controversial too. But in the Assemblies of God, I know that I've caused a little bit of controversy in saying this. And it's this, is that it is always God's will to heal. Always. Make sure and put that word in there. Not sometimes. Not maybe. Not if you've been good enough. Not if you prayed enough. It is always God's will to heal. See, what happens is when I say that, it's a guarantee, and there's probably someone in this room who's thinking it, they're going to come up and say, yes, but listen, what about my great aunt Susie? We prayed for her and she died of cancer. I had another Assemblies of God minister confront me on it, and he said, yes, but listen, I prayed for people in my congregation and they've died. And I said, listen, guess what? My doctrine isn't built on your experience. My doctrine is built upon this word. And it's built upon the experiences that confirm this word. In the book of John, he says this. Jesus says four separate times in different ways, I did not come to do my own will, but I came to do the will of him who sent me. Everything that I do, I already saw the Father do. And so if we want to know what is the will of God, we look at the life of Jesus. What did Jesus do? He healed everyone who came to him. We look at the apostles. Everyone who came to the apostles were healed. When we want to know the will of God, we look at this word. We don't look at experiences. We don't look at times. We don't look at times we prayed for people and they didn't get well. Here's the reality is, guess what? I have prayed for hundreds and hundreds of people who were sick. But at the end of the day, I know it is my job to pray the prayer of faith, to believe God is who he said he is. But at the end of the day, I don't take any of the glory for the healing, but I don't bury any of the weight of the failure. I pray and I believe and I see God move and I see God work because I know that's who he is. It's not my job to figure out why he does it the way he does it, when he does it, how he does it. That's not my job. My job is to believe. But today in this room, if you don't believe that it is God's will, to always God's will to heal, you can't possibly pray with faith that he'll heal you, because there's going to be a part of your heart that's going to be second guessing and saying, well, is it his will for me? Guess what today? When we lay hands on you today and we pray for the sick, if you're in this room, there's no gray area in my heart. There's no question. There's no doubt. There's no disbelief. When I lay hands on you, I believe that it is God's will to heal your body today, right now, in this room. And I would encourage you today, if you're in this room and your heart is beginning to become expectant about what God is going to do, is don't have any doubt about whether it's God's will to heal you, because we just laid out in the Word of God, he said he didn't come to do his own will, but he came to do the will of the Father. It says, that he is the image of the Godhead bodily. Everything Jesus did, it is the fullness and the full image of who God is. That's who he is. And we look and we see his life. He healed, he delivered, and he set free. It says that he is the image of the invisible God. I heard it said this way. Jesus is the only sermon God ever preached. And we want to see what the will of God is. We look to this word. The last lie that the enemy uses to keep us from walking in healing and walking in the miraculous is not necessarily if it's his will to heal, not necessarily can he heal, but it's will he heal you? Because oftentimes we have a distorted image of our Father, and it's easy to believe for other people. It's easy to lay hands on the sick for other people and believe God will heal them. But when it comes time to believe for your own faith, to believe for your own healing, we get caught up because we don't have a true image of who the Father is as a healer. In Matthew 9, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. When we read the scripture, we see the heart of God towards the people that he loves. We see the heart of God towards you, towards me, towards anyone who's sick. One of my favorite stories to tell, because to me, it reveals the character and nature of who God is as our Father. As I was in the Dominican Republic, and I was traveling with a minister, not with Shake the Nations, but I was traveling with someone else, and he told us, listen, I want you to grab some watches and I want you to bring them, because some of the people there, you know, some of the men there, they really enjoy them. So they told us to go get some men's watches from Walmart. One of the men who was with us, he said, you know, it was weird. I went to get those watches, and God told me to get a woman's watch. One woman's watch. And the rest he got were men's watches. During the trip, I was sitting with this woman who was an evangelist. She was working at a YWAM camp, and she was using that as her base camp, and then she was going out to these Muslim countries and preaching the gospel. This was a woman who was mighty. She was mightily in the Spirit. And as we're sitting there at breakfast, she pulls out her arm. She said, did you see the new watch that Dave brought me? And she said, I prayed for months for this. She said, I prayed months for this watch. And she said, and Dave brought it to me. She said, God told him to bring it. She said this, she said, I have a good, good Father. If God cares enough about that woman to send someone from several thousand miles away to bring them a watch because it was a desire of their heart, how much more so and how much more willing is he to heal your body because it was provided for in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? That's who he is. You have to have an image of who he is as a Father who loves you and wants to set you free. If you don't see him that way, it's hard to believe that he's going to heal your body. Because one of the most fundamental beliefs about healing is the reason that he heals, and he heals us because he loves us. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he sent his son. We equate that to just being for salvation, but the word says those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, or sozoed, which means set free, healed, delivered from every molestation of the enemy.
So when we equate that back, we can say this: for God so loved the world that he gave his son so I could be healed, so I could be set free, so I could be delivered from every attack of the enemy. That's why he sent his son. In this room today, if you have a doubt about whether he loves you, whether he sent his son to die on the cross for you, I want to confirm to you today that if you were the only person in existence, if you were alive, heaven would have still gone bankrupt. He would have still sent his son to die on the cross. He would have died a sinner's death and been broken and beaten and bruised if it meant rescuing your soul and healing your body. Healing is provided for in the atonement, folks. I was preaching last weekend in South Carolina, and oh man, the minister I was with, he said, he said, when she said this, I got excited because I knew what was going through your head. This young woman got up during worship. She was a part of the worship team, and she said, you know, how many of you in this room are going through a season? I was recently diagnosed with an illness that they said I'll have for the rest of my life, and I don't know if God's going to heal me here or heal me in heaven. Guess what? Heaven isn't your savior. Jesus is your savior. The rapture isn't your savior. Jesus is your savior. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to experience the power of God and to experience the miraculous in our bodies. It will happen right here today. If you have this idea that you have to wait for heaven, you don't. I talked to her and I found out that she was sick with diabetes, and I looked at her and I said, listen, I have a friend who goes out to Fresh Start Church, and she recently in the last year was healed and delivered and set free of diabetes, and she began to cry right there in the audience because no one had told her about the power of God. It says in Romans, it says the world longs to see the revealing of the sons of God. They're longing to see people walk in power and authority and the knowledge of who Jesus is. It's time we take the scales off our eyes and believe God and take him at his word. Now is the time. I want to share with you just a few more testimonies of God's healing power before we move into a time of demonstration. My favorite healing miracle that I ever witnessed was in El Salvador several years ago. We were up, our prayer team, there was about 24 of us lining the front of the stadium. Between 5 and 10,000 people had come forward to receive salvation. And about 30 yards in, I could see a young boy getting held by his mother, and he had the look of someone who was blind. He was kind of, his eyes drifted, everything. And as we're standing there, as the evangelist is delivering the altar call, all of a sudden, the mom starts to scream, and the daughter starts to scream, and the kid starts to scream, and they're all screaming. And I grabbed my interpreter, and I said, honey, I need you to climb back through that crowd and go find out what happened. She climbs through that crowd. She comes back a couple minutes later, her eyes as big as saucers, and she said, that little boy said he came in here blind, and he can see now. Nobody laid hands on him. Nobody touched him. We didn't pray the prayer of faith, but God in his power and his ability and his love set that boy free and delivered and healed his eyes. That is who he is. Not that I don't agree with the prayer of faith, because I do, but I want you to know it's in his power and in his love. And I remember in that moment, my life was forever changed because I went in there with this, well, I'm going to go pray for the sick and God's going to use me to heal the sick. And in that moment, I realized how little he actually needed me. And I hit my knees and I began to weep. And I said, God, that's who you are. You heal. They got that little boy up on stage and they asked him what happened. And he just said something over and over again. And then the interpreter said, he said, I had faith. I had faith. He couldn't have been more than 8 or 9 years old, but he had faith that God would heal him, and he did. And I've told all these stories about things that have happened overseas, but I want to tell you something. As many as I've seen overseas, I have seen them right here in the United States as well. Several months ago, I was preaching in a place called Greenfield. It was a small storefront church with about 10 people. I had just preached earlier in the day in Assemblies of God Church, and I asked, I said, listen, do you guys pray in tongues? And they said, well, we don't, but you're welcome to. I was like, awesome. And I preached a message about Jesus as the Messiah, and I had an altar call for God to touch people. One person came forward, and it was so I could pray for their friend. Nobody responded. In the same day, I drove 2 hours away and preached the same message with the same preparation, with the same spirit, with the same anointing. And people were touched and set free in that little church room with 10 people in it. There was a woman throughout the entire message that her eyes, she was weeping the entire, it progressed and she was weeping the entire message because God was touching her. God was beginning to minister to her heart and to her spirit, and her heart was beginning to burn within her like the men on the road to Emmaus. And when she came up there, I found out that it was her voice. She sounded like Minnie Mouse when she talked. In fact, during opening announcement, the pastor called her Minnie Mouse. We laid hands on her voice, on her throat, and as she started praising God as we were praying, her voice slowly started coming back until the point where her voice came out like a roar as she praised God, and the whole church went crazy. Can you give me the picture, Joe? See, what you'll see up here is this is the woman. This is an active picture, and you don't see it in this one, but the woman here in red on the left is the pastor's wife, and then I have other pictures where she looks like this. Because she was completely amazed to see God's power at work. I got a message from the woman like a week later. She said, my knees were bad and they got healed too. We didn't even pray for her knees, but God touched them too. That was a couple hours away, but I want to tell you, a couple weeks ago I was preaching in Inglewood and we saw God pour out his spirit in a mighty way. We saw between 7 and 10 healings. Saw God that I know of, at least. I got a message on my ministry website. Someone said they got healed afterwards. I didn't even pray for it, but God touched them in the service. They saw someone else get healed that had a deaf ear that opened up, and then they got healed watching it behind them. Because that's God's power. We don't have to look back and say, oh, back in Azusa, God did this. We don't have to look back and say, well, back in the 1950s, God did this through Oral Roberts. We don't have to look back and say, well, yeah, but at Brownsville. I want to say, yeah, but last week. Yeah, but yesterday. Yeah, but today. We don't have to live in the fires of a past revival. It's time we jump out of the embers and into the flame. I'm going to share with you just a few testimonies of what happened a couple weeks ago, because it happened just a few minutes from here. I want your heart to be encouraged. We had a young lady. She was a senior in high school. As we're going down the line, people are getting healed as they go. And I'm looking down the line as I go, because we were there for several hours. There was a lot of people that came to get prayed for. And at the end, as the service progressed, I could see her begin to be visibly moved as God healed people. I could see the expectation building in her heart for God's healing power, because she was seeing it happen with her very eyes. As we got down there, I asked her, I said, what's going on, honey? What can we pray for? And she said, listen, I have a D1 scholarship for lacrosse, and I've messed up my back, and I'm worried that I'm going to lose it. And I said, well, let's pray and let's believe God's going to touch your back. We lay hands on her afterwards. I said, can you test it and see if you can do anything that you couldn't do before? She bends back like this and comes forward in immediate tears and hits the floor because God healed and touched her body right there on the spot. It doesn't matter if you're a senior in high school. It doesn't matter if you're middle-aged. It doesn't matter if you're white, black. It does not matter. God's healing power is available to all who believe in him. It's available. And the last one I want to share, throw that picture up there for me. This is one of my favorite pictures, because what you see right here is the look of joy on her face as she realized God's just opened up her deaf ear. We prayed, we believed, and I went like this afterwards right next to her ear, and she went like that and was completely amazed to see that God had just opened up a deaf ear. God's healing power is alive and real today. You don't have to wait. You don't have to beg. God's going to heal you today. That's who he is. So here's how we're going to do this. During the altar call, I'm going to go through. I encourage you, if you don't have sickness in your body and you don't need healed or touched, I encourage you to pray for the people up here that do. Be believing in faith with us. This is a full contact sport and we're all involved. We're going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for your body. I'm going to pray for your sickness, whatever it is. I'm going to ask you to test it. If you did not get touched, don't tell me you got touched. We'll pray again. Jesus prayed multiple times, and so will I. But I believe God's going to heal your body today. And when he does, I want you to testify and give glory to God for what he's done. Okay? Joe, before we do this, the most important thing I'll do today is I want to give you an opportunity to respond to salvation. I've shared this message about healing and about God's healing power and what he can do. But the reality is this. The word says, I'd rather you go to heaven mangled than to not go at all. The most important thing I can offer you today is not healing for your body. The most important thing I can offer you today is for God to transform your life and to save your soul. So what I want everyone to do is I want everyone to bow their head and to close their eyes with me. And if you were in this room today and you say, listen, Evangelist Ryan, that's me. I don't know right now if Jesus is my Savior. If I died today, I don't know if I would go. Or if you're in this room and you say, listen, I want full access to the benefits of the atonement of Jesus Christ. I want healed, delivered, set free. That healing is the children's bread. It belongs to people who belong to him. And if you're in this room and your heart is not right and you are not saved, I want you to raise your hand right now and say, listen, Ryan, that's me. Keep your hand up for a second. Okay. See those hands? All right. You can put your hands down. Now I want everyone to follow after me. Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sins. And I believe that you rose again. Come in and save my life. Change my heart. And make me look like you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to tell you this before we progress, is that healing is, or that salvation is more than a prayer. It's more than a repeating after me, but it's a life change. When I really gave my life to Christ, I was never the same again. If I showed up to you this morning and I showed up 35 minutes late, and I said, I'm really sorry, on my way here, I got a flat tire. And then when I got out to change my tire, I got hit by a semi. And then I finally was able to get my tire changed and I got here. You would call me a liar. Because the idea that I would get hit and touched by something as powerful as a semi truck, but yet walk in here unchanged, is ridiculous. For those of you who have said, yes, I've been encountered and touched by God, but there's no change in your life. It's the same way. When you encounter God and when you get touched by God, you're never the same again. You're never the same again. You think different. You talk different. You pursue different things. Your heart longs for different things. If your heart has not changed, I don't know if you really encountered him or not. So if you're in this room today, it's more than raising your hand and saying a prayer, but it's saying, God, come in and transform my life. See, David said this. He said, you have seen me and you know me. And so often we say that to God. Well, God knows. Absolutely, he knows. He's omniscient. But he goes on to say in that same passage, he already acknowledges in God's omniscience and in his greatness that he knows. But then he goes on and he says, God, see me and know me. See every offensive way in me and change it. Getting encountered and touched by God, it's an invitation, but we have to open the door. David opened the door and said, God, come and change my life. And if you're in this room today and you've been coming to church, but there's no change in your life, I encourage you, even if it wasn't this morning, even if you didn't raise your hand, I encourage you to seek God and find that he will change your life.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. This message and other resources are available at destinydayton.com.